Welcome to Coming From Experience, my virtual campfire where we can all gather round and share our experiences through this little thing called life. I'm your host, Annalise, and I'm here to bring you the raddest people I've come to know, sharing their stories of growth, evolution, and their unique take on universal experiences. The stories and experiences I bring to you in this podcast will span a wide variety of topics, from career changes to motherhood, personal development, spirituality, growth in relationship, health and wellness, and so much more. I hope that these stories inspire you and open up a portal for deep connection and conversation on topics that would otherwise be left untouched. Let's dive in. Finding what you had in mind. Hello. This podcast was born out of an idea that I had for some time now on wanting to really address this topic. And a few days ago, I started reading The Untethered Soul by Michael A. Singer again. And it really reminded me as to how impactful not only this book was for me, but how important it is to address the mind and what goes on in the mind, as it has such an influencing role on us. And I guess before I go into how we can, before we go into the power of the mind and how we can free ourselves from that and really liberate ourselves from that, I really want to talk about what the mind is to me. So to me, the mind is that thinking part of our brain. It's that internal dialogue. It's that constant chitter chatter, questioning, doubting, confusion, trying to solve all of our inner problems from within this place. That's how I perceive it. That's how I feel into the mind. My mind has gotten a lot quieter over the last 6 to 12 months, maybe. And that has been both a very, very conscious effort and more recently, more of an unconscious effort. And for me, a lot of, the transmutation process here really stemmed from those four stages of learning that I touched on in my previous podcast where, I was unconsciously unskilled in something. I didn't realize that my mind had this overwhelming power, over me. And then I started to create awareness around that. I started to see like, hang on a minute, I'm giving so much power away to my mind. I'm allowing for it to run the show. I'm allowing for it to have a stronger influence over me than I would care to admit. And it's having an impact on me no longer in a positive way, but more so in a negative way. Because I think the mind is a really beautiful thing. I think thinking, I think thought, I think all of these things are really important. They're imperative to who we are as people. However, we can kind of direct that energy in a really unhealthy manner. So for me, I've really been moving through this process of, unconsciously unskilled to consciously unskilled to consciously skilled and unconsciously skilled through this domain. And so I just wanted to share a few things that I thought might be helpful if you feel like you struggle with the power of the mind and not knowing quite how to tame it in a way where there's a dually beneficial relationship going on here between yourself and the mind. So as I said, the mind to me is that thinking part of our brain. It's where we kind of have that internal dialogue and internal chatter. And from a human design perspective, I really associate the mind with the head center, or in the chakra system, the crown. So in human design, this head center represents, our doubts, confusions, questioning. It also represents our inner inspiration. But for the point of today's conversation, I just want to focus more on the doubts, the confusions, the questioning, and all of that jazz. This is where we can be quite open and receptive, especially if we are open in this head center to the doubts and confusions and the questions, not only of ourselves, but of others. And in theory, those that are defined in this center have a much stronger process of kind of knowing what is theirs from that place of doubts and confusion and questioning and what is not. I'm open in this head center. And so I really relate to it from the perspective of being open and knowing that I am quite vulnerable to receiving input from others and dipping into this doubt. And I have a few gates activated off this center that further kind of strengthen this notion. And I was talking to my mum, who is defined in her head center. And we were just going back and forth about what it looks like to be undefined and defined. And being defined there, she said, it's really interesting because I feel like I don't struggle so much with that. I don't struggle so much with the the thoughts and the doubts and the questions of others, I feel like I know what's mine and I know what's somebody else's, which I thought was really interesting. So that's a little bit of a perspective if you're curious to know it from a human design perspective and how it might show up if you're defined or undefined. But in essence, that head center is home to these energetics. And so I often attribute that energy center to the mind and to what we're discussing today. Now, our mind is very powerful, and as it should be, you know, it can do great things when put to good use. I think there are times where we can get caught up in a lot of mental games and mind games, and that can lead us down a really dangerous and dark path. So I guess for me, this experience really started, probably 2 years ago now, actually. It's a lot longer than I think I realized, but back in 2018, I had just moved interstate into a different state. I was living out of home for the first time at the ripe old age of 26. And I, you know, formed a new relationship, and I was navigating a new city and a new job and a new relationship. And it was a lot. And I felt myself not really having a mental resilience that I would necessarily like. I was really challenged. I didn't really know myself. I was coming from a lot of incorrectness that I couldn't see at the time. I didn't have the awareness, which is totally fine, just a part of it. And I remember at one point I really struggled with my mental health. I was very down, and I don't want to use the word depressed because I think that word means different things to a lot of different people, and I don't want to be insensitive to those that have struggled with depression. However, it did feel like that heaviness. It did feel like that sadness within my heart, that I just felt a little bit nothing. And so I went and sought the support of a counselor, of a psychologist. And I was kind of talking with her about what was going on inside my mind. I noticed that there was a lot of negative self-talk. I noticed that I was constantly berating myself. I was constantly putting myself down, making myself wrong, overthinking, overanalyzing, you know, over questioning everything. And I shared this with her. And for me, I like tangible things that I can put in place pretty quickly. And that's what I requested. I literally got so fed up with just like talking about things. I was like, you need to tell me like something, you need to give me something to do because this is literally driving me insane. And we kind of like were tossing ideas back and forth, and I can't recall how we landed on it, but essentially what I took out of that session was, for every negative thought that I have, I need to interject with a positive one. By golly God, it is so fucking hard to interject your own mind's thoughts with a positive thought when negative thoughts just come so easily. I'd love for people to just observe that within themselves. Watch how easily a negative thought seeps into your mind, seeps into your heart, how easy it is for you to just think so negatively and so critically about yourself. It's almost like that's the default, to think negatively, to think from a place of fear, from a place of not enough, not being good enough, a place of worry. I know that this is universally felt for most people. I feel like at one point or another in anyone's life, they've felt this, where they're hypercritical of oneself, they're conscious of everything that they're doing, and they're very attuned to the misfortunes that might be taking place in their life. And so I started practicing this. Every time I had a negative thought, I'd have to turn around and say a positive one. And for the quickness of the negative thoughts coming in, it probably took me 5 times as long to think of a positive thought. So if I was like, oh, I can't believe I did that, I'm such an idiot, I'd have to be like, crap, okay, positive thought now. I guess I'm a really nice person. Like, it was actually really hard at the time. But it was probably one of the more valuable exercises that I ever did with myself, because it was constant. I had to remind myself every day. I had to catch myself whenever I had a negative thought, and it actually allowed me to become more aware. I don't think I realized at the time how often I was allowing myself to seep into this negativity and to be hypercritical and hyperjudgmental of myself and then also of others. I also did this thing where if I felt myself frowning or I felt my face getting heavy, I would instantly just be like, okay, smile, smile. Like, I just was really conscious about shifting my energy and changing my energy. As time wore on, I found that my energy shifted, my mindset started to shift. And in more recent times, I've kind of taken that negative into a positive and kind of expanded upon this notion. I think it's important to acknowledge, and this might not be true for all, but for most people, we have internal dialogue. We have this voice in our head. And as I was rereading The Untethered Soul, I was reminded of something in that book that stood out to me from the moment that I read it. I can remember where I was reading that book in my mum's house in the lounge room. And I remember the impact that it had on me, that it never left me. It's the only thing that really came with me after I finished reading that book. And that was, if you imagine the voices in your head, that hypercritical, hyper mean person that is in your mind telling you all the things that you've done wrong, that you should be self-conscious about, that you failed at, or whatever it might be. If you imagined all of that dialogue that you hear inside your mind as a physical person that is sitting next to you, that is on the couch with you as you watch the movie, that's saying, oh, well, you could never be as skinny as that girl, and you could never get a guy like that, and oh, this shit only happens in the movies, and whatever it might be. If you imagined all of that dialogue coming from a person that was sitting next to you, I would really challenge you to think, what would you do with that individual? Would you invite them into the next room as you got up and left the lounge room and headed to your bedroom? Would you say, come on now, let's go? Or would you firmly and promptly say, I think it's time that you leave? Because no one wants that energy around us. And if an external person was saying that to you, you'd be very quick to dismiss them, in theory. You'd be quick to say, hang on a minute, who are you to say that about me? Who are you to make judgments about me or anything else? Yet when it comes from our mind, we trust it implicitly. And why is that? I can't even give you an answer to that. I don't know why we trust our mind implicitly, but we do. We often just hand over all of our power to the mind. And this internal dialogue, this internal chatter that, you know, we can witness as a person outside of ourselves and quickly and promptly say, no, thank you. We can also witness it and see that we are both, you know, on one side of the fence and on the other side of the fence, if that makes sense. So our internal dialogue often goes back and forth within itself. We are witnessing it, but then we can witness there's an engage happening. And we often try and attribute one of ourselves to one of those sides of the argument. But the truth is, we're none of those things. That's just conditioning. That's just thoughts. That's just stimulus happening inside of our mind. And so what has further supported me in understanding the power of the mind and how to liberate myself from that and how to take the power back, so to speak, is to understand that I as an individual, Annalise, can engage. I can witness and I can partake in the dialogue. And that might sound a little bit crazy, but bear with me. If my mind is going down a path that I don't enjoy, I have every right to witness that and to say, hey, thanks, but no thanks. I'm going to stop you right there. I don't actually agree with that. I internally respond to my mind from a place of the self, not from a place of the mind. I have built this ability to kind of respond from me, responding from a place of, well, oftentimes dismissing. It's not even really responding, it's dismissing. It's shutting down. It's saying thanks, but no thanks. Thanks for that, but that's not what I need to hear right now. I think so often we forget that we can override the mind. We give so much power to it that we lose a sense of our own power. We think that it's an automatic thing that can't be interrupted, that can't be stopped, that it just happens and we are helpless in this situation. And it often frustrates me that people think that and that not many people are given the insight or the understanding and knowing that it doesn't have to be that way. You can liberate yourself from the mind. You can engage with the mind. You can cut off the negative self-talk and replace it with positive self-talk. You have every right and you have everything within you to do that so that you do not feel a victim of the mind, a prisoner of the mind, so that you don't keep yourself rooted in these lower frequencies where you're looping on these negative thoughts and behaviors and what if I did this and what if I did that and overthinking and overanalyzing. Who said that you had to be at the whim of that energy? No one. It's just something that we're conditioned to believe. Now, in freeing the mind, it can be really hard to discern, well, what do I give my time and attention to? What do I give my energy to? How do I discern what is for me? And I've kind of created a fun little game that I play with myself in understanding, well, is this a cause of concern for me? Is this something I need to give my energy to? Or is this just my mind going rogue and being a little bit of a shit and I just kind of need to dismiss it? And I often think of it as like a Tinder profile. And in that, I think of the problem. What am I faced with? What is all of the criteria points of what I am seeing right now? How does this apply to me? Is this me or is this somebody else's? I can really start to see it for what it is. I start to take a step back and another step back and another step back. And in doing so, I get perspective on the issue that is arising. And in doing that, I get to then discern and decide, well, do I want to swipe left? Is that a no? Or do I want to swipe right? Is that a yes? Do I want to go on a date with this idea or this thought or this concern or this question or this doubt? Do I want to engage with it? Do I want to chit chat for a little while? How do I feel about it? And often, more often than not, I'm swiping left, which is true for real Tinder as well, if I can be honest. So I can start to discern, well, no, this isn't for me. And I mean, this is a hard no. This is a firm swipe left. And once it's gone, it's gone. You can never go back. Once you swipe left, that's it. It's gone. And that's where you then have to kind of assert a sense of, I don't want to say authority, but kind of knowing that, well, once I say no to this, it's not going to revisit. I have to put that in the no pile and I have to leave it there. And that takes a lot of inner strength. And I think practicing the positive self-talk, first and foremost, interjecting, even just noticing the negative self-talk and trying to shift that into the positive, or trying to then say something nice about yourself and just witnessing how challenging that is. Then looking at the internal dialogue and understanding that you can interject, that you can partake, that you can dismiss ideas, you can squash doubts, you can say graciously, thank you, but no thank you. Thank you for presenting this doubt or this concern. I appreciate you're trying to keep me safe. However, I know that for me, growth, evolution, and expansion lies outside of my comfort zone. And so I'm going to do it anyway. We can actually engage in this manner with our mind's thoughts. And then once we kind of build up a strength in that manner, we can start to do the Tinder game where we can really view things for what they are and we can be discerning. And I think it's important to understand that just because you swipe right doesn't mean that you can't, you know, then say, I don't want to go on a second date with you. You can't, you know, then say, and that's enough and that's done. Like, I'm only going to give so much time to this thought, this question, this doubt, or this confusion, whatever it might be. So I just wanted to share that because I found these things to be really liberating for me to understand the role of my mind to the point where as I'm reading Untethered Soul, I can really see how much I've grown from the first time that I read this book and from where I was back in July of 2018, where I was struggling mentally and emotionally and physically, and I kind of was a shell of an individual because I didn't know how to trust in myself and I didn't know how to overcome the mind. And I think, and as I said earlier, not to take away from any mental health concerns, I've been diagnosed with anxiety and I feel like I've experienced bouts of depression but have never been in a state of full depression. And it's not to take away from the severity and anything like that of those conditions, but I do believe a lot of mild anxiety and bouts and feelings of depression can be overcome or can be further supported when we actually do the work ourselves alongside any other treatment that we deem necessary for us. And I think looking at the mind, understanding its power, understanding its influence, and understanding how that can be misused and how that can go wrong, and then putting these actionable steps in place where we take our negative thoughts into positives, we witness our internal dialogue and we partake and we become discerning about what we want to give our energy to, can be very liberating and very freeing. And it's something that we can all do today. And to be honest with you, I think I always knew that I could do this, but I needed that little kick up the butt. I needed someone to tell me that I could do this and I needed that guidance and support to do it. But then At the end of the day, you can lead a horse to water, but you cannot make it drink. I could be given all of the advice that I know that I need, but no one is there to hold my hand to make me do it. So if you feel like you struggle with this at all, with the power of the mind and not knowing how to tame it or understand it or work with it, then I'd really suggest that you try these things and let me know how they feel and if they work and if they're supportive. But I just wanted to share that with you guys, and I hope it's been insightful and been helpful, and go forth and conquer. Okay, bye. Thank you so much for tuning into the podcast. I hope you got something magical out of this episode today. If you want to keep the conversation flowing, head over to the gram where you can find me at annalise.madrell, or stay up to date with the latest podcast episodes at Coming From Experience, all one word. Be sure to share this podcast with a special someone who you think might gain a lot out of this conversation, and be sure to leave a review and let me know what you think. Until next time.